Ever wonder how much power courts have? It's kind of, you know, peek behind the curtain of presidential decision making. Buckle up because today's deep dive takes us to the heart of executive privilege with this fascinating case, Cheney v. United States District Court.
Yeah, it's a case that really highlights that tension are here, you know, the need for open government,
Yeah.
but also the president's ability to get, you know, candid advice from advisors.
Right.
A classic separation of powers dilemma.
Right. So set the stage for us.
Okay.
It's 2001.
Okay.
Vice President Dick Cheney
All right.
is leading a task force on energy policy. So that's pretty routine, right?
Well, not quite.
Okay.
This task force, the National Energy Policy Development Group,
Right.
or NEPDG,
At EPDG.
yeah, it attracted the attention of some environmental groups,
Okay.
Judicial Watch and the Sierra Club, who suspected private industry was, you know,
Yeah.
secretly influencing the task force's recommendations.
Okay, I see where this is going. They didn't think big oil should be calling the shots
Right.
on energy policy.
Yeah.
So, what did these environmental groups do?
Well, they took legal action.
Huh?
Their argument was that if private citizens were essentially de facto members of the NEPDG,
Right.
then it would fall under the Federal Advisory Committee Act,
Okay.
or FAC. Oh,
FACA.
yes.
And for those of us who don't have FACA memorized,
Right.
remind us what that entails.
Sure. FACA is all about open government.
Okay.
It requires certain advisory committees to make their meetings and records public. Essentially, it's designed to prevent backroom deals
Okay.
and ensure transparency.
So these groups wanted to shine a light on the NEPDG's work,
Right.
see who was really pulling the strings. Did they get what they asked for?
Not so fast.
Okay.
The government pushed back hard, claiming that revealing internal discussions would cripple their ability to function effectively.
Okay.
Their main argument was that only federal employees were part of the NEPDG.
Right. Meaning FACA didn't apply at all.
So we have a classic legal standoff,
Right.
transparency versus executive privilege.
Exactly.
Where did things go from there?
Well, the environmental groups filed lawsuits
Yeah.
seeking access to NEPDG materials, and the lower courts initially sided with them,
Okay.
at least partially.
Okay.
They allowed limited discovery to determine the task force's structure and membership.
Hold on, discovery.
Yeah.
For our listeners who might not be legal eagles,
Right.
can you break down what that means in this context?
Sure. Discovery is the process where parties in a lawsuit can request information and documents
Okay.
from each other to build their case. Think of it as legal fact-finding.
Okay.
In this instance, the environmental groups wanted things like meeting minutes,
Right.
internal memos, communication logs to try and prove their claim that private industry had undue influence
Okay.
on the NEPDG.
So basically, they wanted to see if there was any evidence of a.
Smoke-filled room where energy policy was being dictated by special
It's
interests.
exactly.
Makes sense. But I'm guessing the government wasn't thrilled about this.
You guessed right.
Okay.
They saw these discovery requests as a serious breach of executive confidentiality.
Right.
It's a longstanding principle that the president and their advisors need a certain degree of privacy to do their jobs effectively.
Right. You can't expect the president to make tough calls if they can't have
Right.
frank conversations with their team
Right.
without fear of everything being made public. So
Exactly.
how did the government try to block these discovery orders?
They appealed to the Court of Appeals.
Okay.
And here's where it gets interesting.
Okay.
They requested a writ of mandamus.
Mandamus.
Yeah.
Now that's a legal term you don't hear every day.
Right.
Break it down for us.
So it's a pretty rare judicial order.
Okay.
Basically, a higher court telling a lower court, hey, you're stepping out of line. Stop what you're doing.
Right.
It's a way to assert authority and correct what's perceived as an overreach.
So the government was pulling out the big guns,
Yes.
arguing that the lower court's discovery order was a fundamental threat to the executive branch.
Exactly.
Did the Court of Appeals buy it?
Not initially.
Okay.
They dismissed the government's petition for mandamus, saying the government hadn't even tried to narrow the scope of the
Yeah.
discovery requests by asserting executive privilege.
Okay.
They basically told the government to go back and try to work it out with the lower court first.
Okay, so the stage is set for a Supreme Court showdown.
Yes.
This isn't just about energy policy anymore.
Right.
It's about the separation of powers,
Exactly.
about who gets to decide what information stays private at the highest levels of government.
That's a big one.
This is where the stakes get really high.
Yeah.
What happened when this battle landed at the Supreme Court?
Well, that's a story for part two of our deep dive. The Supreme Court took the case, eager to, you know, settle this constitutional clash.
Right.
Ultimately, they vacated the Court of Appeals judgment.
Okay.
And sent the case back down for another look.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't actually rule on whether FECA applied to Cheney's Energy Task Force.
Right.
But they made it crystal clear that courts need to be incredibly cautious.
Okay.
When authorizing discovery that could intrude on the president's ability to receive confidential advice.
So the Supreme Court was basically saying, slow down lower courts.
Exactly.
Okay.
Justice Kennedy, writing for the majority,
okay,
used the phrase unwarranted impairment of executive functions.
Right.
He was warning against judicial interference in presidential decision making, emphasizing the need for balance between transparency and confidentiality at the highest levels of government.
I can see their point.
Yeah.
You can't expect a president to make sound decisions if they can't have open and honest conversations with their advisors.
Precisely.
Okay.
The court was worried that broad discovery in cases like this would have a chilling effect on those conversations, ultimately harming the executive branch's ability to function.
So does this mean the case was a slam dunk for executive power?
Well, not so simple.
Go ahead.
While the court stressed the importance of protecting presidential confidentiality,
mm-hmm.
they acknowledged that there might be times when discovery is appropriate.
Right.
They just set a much higher bar for when that would be the case.
This is where I get a little lost.
Okay.
They didn't rule on whether FECA applied to the task force.
Right.
They just sent the case back down.
Mm-hmm.
What was the problem exactly?
The issue was with the process the Court of Appeals used.
Okay.
The Supreme Court felt the appeals court dismissed the government's separation of powers arguments too quickly.
Okay.
Without requiring them to first assert executive privilege.
Right.
Which is a pretty high burden.
So the Supreme Court thought the Court of Appeals had put the cart before the horse.
You could say that. They argued that the Court of Appeals should have considered the government's separation of powers argument from the start without jumping through the executive privilege hoop.
Right.
They also emphasized that mandamus is a legitimate tool to protect the executive branch from overly intrusive discovery in these situations.
It sounds like this case was about a lot more than just FECA.
Yeah.
It sets some ground rules for how courts should handle cases involving sensitive information at the highest levels of government.
Absolutely. It sets a precedent for future cases
where
transparency bumps up against the need to protect the confidentiality of presidential decision making.
I imagine there were some differing opinions on the court about how this case should have been decided.
Of course.
Yeah.
We had some interesting concurrences and dissents that highlight the different ways of looking at this complex issue.
Let's hear it.
All right.
Tell me, what did the other justices have to say about this?
Well, Justice Thomas, joined by Justice Scalia, argued that the court should have gone even further and granted mandamus outright to protect executive privilege.
Wow. So he was taking a hardline stance.
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
Okay.
What was the basis for his argument? He had a couple of key concerns.
Okay.
First, he believed allowing discovery based on mere allegations without real evidence of wrongdoing would turn mandamus into a freestanding cause of action.
Okay.
Meaning anyone who wanted to challenge executive actions could force the government to open its files.
Right.
Even without a solid legal basis.
That does sound like it could open a Pandora's box of lawsuits and potentially paralyze the executive branch.
Exactly.
Okay.
His second concern was that this type of broad discovery would chill those frank discussions we were talking about.
Yeah.
Making it much harder for the president to get honest advice and make informed decisions.
He was sounding the alarm about the potential consequences of unchecked judicial power then.
Yes, very much so.
Did any other justices share his worries?
While no other justice went as far as Thomas in advocating for outright mandamus, Justice Stevens did concur with the majority opinion, but highlighted a crucial point.
Mm-hmm.
He stressed that given the extraordinary nature of mandamus, the plaintiffs should have been required to show specific evidence to justify such intrusive discovery.
So even though he agreed with sending the case back to the lower court, he was adding a note of caution.
Right.
Urging them to be careful about overreaching.
Exactly. He seemed to share some of Thomas's concerns about potential abuse.
Right.
If courts were too quick to grant these types of discovery requests.
Okay, so we have Thomas advocating for a strong protection of executive privilege.
Mm.
and Stevens urging caution.
Right.
What about the justices who weren't on board with the majority opinion?
On the other side, we have Justice Ginsburg.
Okay.
Joined by Justice Souter, dissenting. Yeah. She argued that the lower courts should be trusted to handle discovery appropriately.
Okay.
And that mandamus in this case was premature.
Interesting. She had more faith in the lower court's ability to balance transparency and executive confidentiality then.
Yes. Ginsburg believed the government hadn't exhausted all of its options at the district court level.
Okay.
They hadn't specifically asked the court to narrow the scope of the discovery requests.
Right.
Mandamus to her was too drastic a measure at that point.
So she was essentially saying, let the process play out.
Right.
We shouldn't assume the lower courts are going to mishandle this.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay.
Her position was that the government was jumping the gun.
Right.
By going straight to mandamus.
Yeah.
And that the Court of Appeals was right to tell them to try working it out with the district court first.
This case really shows how complicated these separation of powers issues can be.
It does.
There are good arguments on both sides.
It really does. Yeah. Cheney v. United States District Court is a classic example of the court trying to find the right balance between competing constitutional values.
Right.
On one hand, you have the public's interest in transparency and holding the government accountable.
Mm-hmm.
On the other, you have the need to protect the president's ability to get candid advice
right.
and make decisions effectively.
And there's no easy answer, is there?
No, not at all.
No.
But even though this case didn't give us a definitive answer on the scope of FACA or executive privilege, it did clarify some important procedural issues.
I'm all ears. What kind of guidance did the court offer?
Well, they made it clear that courts should consider separation of powers concerns and the potential burden on the executive branch right from the get-go.
Okay.
They shouldn't wait for the government to play the executive privilege card before giving those arguments weight.
So it's a shift in how these cases are approached.
Exactly.
Requiring courts to be more aware of the unique position of the executive branch when it comes to request for information.
Exactly. The court also highlighted the factors that courts should consider when evaluating whether mandamus is the appropriate remedy.
Mm-hmm.
Things like the breadth of the discovery request.
Right.
The specific separation of powers concerns and the availability of other options.
They basically created a roadmap for lower courts on how to handle these sensitive situations.
Exactly.
But beyond procedural stuff, what are the broader implications of this case?
Ah, well, that's where things get really interesting.
Okay, so we've unpacked the facts of the case,
right?
The Supreme Court's decision and the different opinions of the justices.
Yeah.
What's the lasting impact of Cheney v. United States District Court? What does it all mean in the grand scheme of things?
Well, this case has significantly impacted the balance of power between the executive and judicial branches.
Okay.
You know, it's created a higher bar for challenging executive actions and given government lawyers a powerful toolkit to resist what they see as overly intrusive discovery requests.
So a win for the executive branch, but not a total knockout.
Right.
The courts still have a role to play, just a more cautious one.
Exactly. The court emphasized that executive privilege isn't absolute.
Right.
And sometimes disclosure is the right call.
Yeah.
But they also made it clear that the scales tip in favor of confidentiality, especially when it comes to sensitive discussions at the highest levels of government.
It makes me think about the struggle between transparency and national security.
Right.
Especially post 9/11.
Yeah.
There's immense pressure to keep certain information secret,
all
in the name of safety.
That's a critical point. This case adds fuel to the debate about where the line is drawn, how much secrecy is too much.
Right.
Cheney v. United States District Court doesn't provide all the answers, but it gives courts some important guidelines to consider when faced with these kinds of dilemmas.
It sounds like this case has almost given government lawyers a playbook for resisting transparency efforts.
Right.
By framing them as a constitutional threat, an attack on executive power itself.
That's one way to interpret it.
Yeah.
But it's also important to see how the decision encourages lawyers challenging the government to be more strategic.
Right.
Their discovery requests need to be sharp, well-supported, and clearly demonstrate why the public needs to know.
It's a high-stakes chess game, then.
It is.
With both sides vying for an advantage.
Yeah.
But ultimately, the courts are the referees.
Right.
Deciding where the lines are drawn.
You got it. And Cheney v. United States District Court reminds us that those lines are always being tested.
Yeah.
And redefined as our understanding of executive power and transparency evolves.
We've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
But it feels like we've only scratched the surface of this complex case.
It's true. Cheney v. United States District Court is a fascinating case study in separation of powers and the constant struggle to balance competing interests in a democracy.
Right.
Openness versus secrecy.
Yeah.
Accountability versus effective governance.
Yeah.
These are ongoing debates.
Right.
And the courts have a vital role in shaping how our government operates.
Before we wrap up this deep dive,
yeah.
What's the one key takeaway
you
hope our listeners will remember?
The biggest takeaway is that the tension between transparency and executive power is always there.
Yeah.
Constantly being negotiated. Cheney v. United States District Court is just one chapter.
Right.
In a long ongoing story, it's up to each of us as engaged citizens to stay informed about these issues and participate in the conversation about how our government should function.
Well said. If our listeners want to learn more, I encourage them to dive into the Federal Advisory Committee Act.
Yes.
Executive privilege or other separation of powers cases. There's a wealth of information out there.
Absolutely. And here's a thought-provoking question to consider as you explore further. In our age of social media and instant news, does the public have a right to know more about what goes on in the White House?
Right. What are the potential benefits and risks of greater transparency?
Right.
This is a crucial question as we navigate the complexities of governing in the 21st century.
That's a great question to leave our listeners pondering.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Cheney v. United States District Court.
Thank you.
Until next time.